Today we are going to start Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Now here St. Paul is reminding again. He says, I am the prisoner of the Lord. And he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the occasion wherewith ye are called. And if you remember chapter 1, chapter 2, and even chapter 3, we learn that God has called us and loved us before the foundation of the world. And God has given us grace above all. And we learn that God sent Jesus Christ into this world. He died on the cross of Calvary. He is risen. He has given us the hope of eternal life. Not only that, we learn that we are the bride of Christ. We learn that Jesus Christ is the head and we are his body. Not only that, we learn that everything, all the powers and principalities and all the demonic forces is under the feet of Christ. And Christ's feet is our feet. Because when we are body of Christ, and then everything goes under the feet of Christ, that's under your feet and under my feet. So that's what he's saying, walk worthy. If you know your calling, our calling is a great high calling. And so once you know where we are and what is Christian life is all about, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 we read and we learned that we are lifted up in heavenly places and we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. That is a spiritual blessing we have. Not a single Old Testament person got that blessing. And so we are special people in the sight of God. So the word of God is saying, now as the united body of Christ, you should be loving one another. You should be forbearing one another. Because we learned last week, if you remember, we should be rooted and grounded in love. Christian life started with the love. We learned that God is love and he showed his love sacrificing his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I am giving you a new commandment, and that's commandment of what? Love. And he showed love in his life. And so Jesus Christ is model of love. So he is saying, if you are coming together as a believer, as a body of Christ, he said, I want you to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Holy Spirit makes us one. The devil comes to divide. Devil comes to destroy. We know St. John chapter 10 verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So we get the life of Jesus Christ, is abundant life. That life we have to share with another believers. If there is a weak believer, if there is a new believer, if the believer is hurting, or even the do not understand the fullness of God and is just newborn Christian, we should try to help that brother or help that sister. And this is what we have to do. Church is the family. If you have 5 children, they are not all the same. They are all different. And so how you deal with those children? You deal with the children with the love. And so at the same time, if you are a child of God, what you're going to do, you're going to love everyone thinking that they are children of God. We learned in 1 John chapter 5 last week itself that if you are born again child of God, and if some other person is born again child of God, we have unity. We are all one in Christ. And so we are all brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter the language and education and different colors. But once we believe that we are born again, then we act like God. That's why he says, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to bring us peace. We learn in chapter 2 Ephesians that we were separated from God. But Jesus Christ united us in one body. So we have to keep unity and peace among the brethren. And that will only happen by the Spirit of God. So if you are born again child of God, what do you have? You have Spirit of Christ and you have Spirit of God. And how do you know? We know from the book St. John chapter 14 and verse 23. What the word of God is saying.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See, Jesus Christ says, we will come and we will make our home in you. That means when you are born again, child of God, what you have? You have Christ and you have the Father. So when your Father and Son lives in you, and you have the mind of Christ and mind of God, you will be acting like a child of God. So that's what he's saying. Keep the unity in the Spirit and in the bond of peace. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4.
There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Now again he says there is one body and one Spirit, and we are called in one hope of your calling. What is our hope? The word of God says Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Amen. Without Christ, there is no hope. So if you have hope, you have hope in Christ. That's why he said if each and every person is focusing on Christ, then you have unity. We have togetherness. We are not pulling apart. We are coming together to worship one God. In India, there are several gods. In one family, they will have four or five people, and four or five people worship different gods. But we are not worshiping different gods. We are worshiping one God. Amen. So we are worshiping one God with a unity, and we have hope in Christ Jesus. So that's why he says, you should know your calling. We have called to follow Christ. We are not following anybody else. Verse 5.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Now this is very simple, but people get confused with this word. He says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. As we learn according to the word of God, our God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now in the olden days, they didn't know the Trinity. Moses didn't know, Adam didn't know, or even any prophet. They didn't know in the Old Testament Trinity. But we know. In the olden days, they will call God, God, or God, Lord. But now we know, when we call Lord, we know we are calling Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And so, we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is one Lord. You just make Jesus Christ as your Savior, make him as your Lord. What does that mean? If you have Jesus Christ as a Lord, or Jesus Christ is the head, then you will listen to him. Whatever the Lord says, we obey the Lord. So we have only one Lord. We don't have, like I said, different gods, so different people have different teaching. We have only one Lord, and that Lord is Jesus Christ. And then say, we have one faith. Now, there are several stages of faith, but I'm talking about when you say one faith, we are talking about book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 2. What it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Means author means he is the one invented faith. So who is this? Jesus Christ. Once you know, your faith should be in Christ. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the time you get saved. So you have to put your faith in Christ. You want to have the faith of God or faith of Christ to get saved. So the Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you want to follow God, you need Christ. Christ says, you cannot go to Father without me. So you need a faith of Christ and you need a Lord. So our Lord is one and the faith is one. Now here he says, and the one baptism. Now here many people get confused. Some people are baptized when they were babies. Some people were baptized sprinkling. Some people were baptized with pouring water. Some people were baptized with making the cross on their forehead. And some people were baptized just going under the flag. So now, different people are baptized differently. The Word of God says there is one baptism. Now, once you start preaching about baptism, and the person who took the baptism, he comes to me and he says, see this Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, one baptism. So I already took the baptism. So I don't want to take another baptism. So what the Bible says? There is no two baptism. There is only one baptism. Then what? That baptism, how do you know which one is correct baptism? If there is a one baptism, that baptism should be according to the Word of God. If your baptism is not according to the Word of God, I don't care you took 7 times or 700 times. Doesn't mean anything. The Word of God is saying the one baptism should be according to the Word of God. Now just think somebody gave you a $100 bill. And the $100 bill, you got it and you're so excited that you got $100. You go to the bank and bank says, this is just a piece of paper. This is not a $100 bill. Then what you do? Are you going to say, doesn't matter what you say, but this is $100. Wherever you go, you cannot cash that dollar. You cannot change that dollar. Are you going to hold on to that $100 or are you going to find somebody who gave it to you a false dollar? You're not going to hold on to that and say, this is $100 bill. It's good enough for me. It doesn't work that way. So same way, when you say baptism, the word itself is say immersion. And then some other, in Jewish people, when I was reading their Bible, they say John the immerser. When you say John the baptizer, immerser, that no question about it. And when you say immerse, then you don't argue with somebody. Bible says immerse, and you just putting some drops on my head, you did not immerse me. But they did not translate properly, and many people are confused. Now that is not only one thing about immersion. Somebody can say, okay, immersion baptism, I believe. Okay, I'm going to call my Hindu friend, I like him, and tell him to baptize me. Is that okay? If any Hindu friend or Muslim friend comes to you and say, okay, I'm going to baptize you immersively. And that person comes to you and said, are you baptized? Yes. How do you baptize? Immersively. And some of the pastor will not ask a further question. I will ask that person, okay, sir, I want to know, the man who baptized you, if that man was born again Christian? The man who baptized you was believing the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue? If that man baptized you was living a clean and holy life and was walking according to the word of God? If that was true, then that's the man has authority to baptize you. Doesn't matter he was a pastor, assistant pastor, or just a believer. There is no single word in the Bible that whoever baptized has to be ordained minister or the person elder of the church. Ananias baptized Paul. We don't know Ananias was the bishop or deacon or just a believer. But the qualification is there. So once you are born again, child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongue, and living a clean and holy life, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you saw somebody in some jungle, or there was a river, or there was a pool of water, and you witnessed to that person, Hindu, Muslim, or ordinary Christian. Tell that person the need of salvation and need of water baptism. If that person is ready, you don't have to say, could you come to my church? And then we will baptize you. You can baptize that man right there and there. It is right according to the word of God. But when you have a church and pastor there, and pastor is preaching about the water baptism, and the water is ready, and don't take secretly somebody there and say, I'm going to baptize you so you can go home faster. Pastor is taking too much time. That will be wrong. You have to know what you're doing is right. And so the one baptism is according to the word of God, but that baptism should be right. Now somebody said, I took another baptism. That person, I had to say, let's read in the word of God. Today is not my subject about water baptism. If your baptism is not according to the word of God, I don't care if the person who was the head of the church and he had 10,000 churches under him, but if he was not born again, if he was not filled with the Holy Spirit, if he was not baptized properly himself, he has no authority to baptize somebody else. So that's why churches have a problem. Somebody comes from some other place and they don't believe in anything, and that person comes and sits in the church and pastor doesn't ask anything because he gets the offering from that person and makes him deacon in the church, and finally somebody says, oh, this person was the Jehovah's Witnesses. I didn't know. Or this person was maybe a Salvation Army person. I said, what's wrong with the Salvation Army? Salvation Army people do not believe in baptism. Not a sprinkling, not pouring, nothing. They don't believe water baptism, period. They don't believe in communion, period. Now, if somebody comes from that church and you don't ask the question, and he's giving you tithes and offerings, and he's acting like a very holy person, singing in your choir and does everything good, and you don't ask anything, and finally somebody says, I want to be in the ministry, and you ordain him in the ministry. And somebody says, how come you ordain the man? He's Salvation Army. Oh, I didn't know that. That's the reason the minister should know what to do. That's what the word of God is saying. He didn't say which baptism is correct. You have to check it out from the word of God. So he said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we have to tell the people who is Lord, what is faith is all about, and what is your baptism is all about. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6.
One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
Now this word also somebody will take, and they will say, okay, a father is greater than son. So that Jehovah's Witnesses say, Jesus Christ is a God, not the God. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible preaches Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he is the God. And the Hebrews chapter 1, God says to the Son, O God. And Son says to the Father, O God. And so our God is united. So Son is not lower than a father. Father is not higher than a son. So they are all equal. But why he's saying here, he says we have only one father. Somebody says God has only children. He doesn't have grandchildren. That means Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we are also sons of God. How do you know? St. John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, as many as received him, who? If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God the Father gives you authority to call God Father. So we are all the sons of God. And book of Galatians, it says, God sends the Son Spirit in your spirit so you could call Abba Father. So they all work in united way.
Yes, sir.
Father doesn't hate Son and Son doesn't hate God. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he said, I don't do anything without God. I don't say anything what God says. So some people say, oh, maybe then he doesn't know anything. When he was in the flesh, he was limited. But after he was resurrected, now he became a new Adam, a new person. And that's why if anyone believes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what it says, if anyone, any man, any person be in Christ Jesus, he's what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. When Jesus Christ came out of the grave, now what he did to you and me made us new creation. That creation was not exist in Adam or in the Old Testament. Okay, so the Word of God is saying here, we have one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Means you are in God, God is in you. We just read it. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus Christ said, if you love the Father, if you love me, we will dwell in you. So we are all in one, in unity. The Christians, brothers and sisters, and we are all together, bound together in unity and love. Okay, Ephesians 4, 7.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to measure of gift of Christ. Now, that means one person is not given more and one person is not given less. We have all the same forgiveness. We have all same calling. And we are all in one in Christ Jesus. We are a special people. As I said, we are better than Old Testament saints. We are better than angel. But once we are in Christ, we are all one in unity. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you became the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit makes you bride. You are engaged by the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 8.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Now here, many people do not understand, but it's very simple to know. Jesus Christ came from heaven, and he is the only one who went to heaven. But before he went to heaven, the Word of God says, you remember what Jesus Christ said to that thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus Christ died, and all these people from maybe Adam until that last thief underground, means under, they were not in heaven. And so Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and the Word of God says he went to under part of the world. He fought with the devil. He took the keys of the hell and in his hand. And he came out. But before he came to his disciples back, he took the captive. The people were bound because they were not free until the blood of Jesus Christ is shed. So that when Jesus Christ's blood was shed, now these people were free to go with him. So where did he take them? He took them to paradise. Now the heavenly paradise. And he kept them there, and then he came back. So what he's trying to say, he gave them the gift of eternal life. And so the Word of God says that's only Christ did it. Now all the Old Testament people, they are in heavenly places. and the hell is separated now. So Jesus Christ is the only one did it. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ had power to destroy the works of the devil. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, please read what Jesus Christ said.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Now Jesus Christ says, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And what he says, I have the keys of the hell and Hades. So Jesus Christ is alive. He has given us the freedom, the victory over the sickness, disease, and death. So we are going to live forever. The death was hanging on the people from Adam to Moses. So all those people were a bondage of death. Jesus Christ goes there and redeemed them. And he says, now you are free.
Yes, sir.
Because I set you free. And then take those people to heaven. And then he comes back to earth. Verse 11.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
We saw all these mysteries about Jesus Christ, about the church, about the Old Testament saints, and about the heaven and the paradise and God's gifts and all of these things. It is not easy for ordinary man to understand. That's why so many churches are founded and so many doctrines are there. But the Saint Paul is saying, if you go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, I am just like a wise master builder. And he says, I am the building on the foundation of Christ. Go ahead.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Now see, it's very plainly says, there are people are building on the foundation is Christ. So each and every church, if you ask, oh, we believe in Jesus Christ. Our foundation is Christ. How did you build your church? Did you build your church with a silver, gold, or precious stone? Or did you build your church with a hay, wood, or straw? Now, if somebody built the church on straw or hay or wood, what will happen? He said the fire will test it and what? It'll burn up. But if the church is made by precious stone, it's not going to burn up. So the Word of God is saying there are so many doctrines all around. And the people are building, new churches are coming every day. I don't care about the name of the church. I don't care about what kind of building they have and how much big building or steeple they have, or how many stained glass windows they have. I'm not looking at that. What I'm looking at, what kind of doctrine they're preaching. Are they preaching about born-again experience? Are they preaching about the real water baptism? Are they preaching about real holiness? Are they preaching about the second coming of Christ? Are they preaching about the living holy life? Are they preaching about how the gifts are operating in the Word of God? Are they preaching about the signs and wonders and miracles and healings can happen today in Jesus' name? Or they just preach a simple gospel? Simple gospel, I don't care, we are all one. You can be Hindu, you can be Muslim, you can be Jewish, come to church, we'll have sing songs and things like that, and we'll pray for you, and you go back, and you come again. We are all one. Is that a church? No. Church is the body of Christ. If the person doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, cannot be added in the body of Christ. Book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 and 42, he says, the people were added in the church, and what they were doing? Breaking the bread and taking the communion.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers.
See, this is important. Water baptism, they were baptized, and they were coming together, they were breaking the bread, and they taking the communion, and they were praying together, and having the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. If the church is not doing this, it's not a church. You can have a beautiful band playing. If you have beautiful singers, you have beautiful clothes, you have beautiful stained windows, doesn't matter. What you preaching, what you teaching. That's why he says, go back to the Ephesians chapter 4. Perfecting the children of God. So they should be edified the body of Christ. Now somebody says, how can I edify the body of Christ if I'm not edified? Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 to 4.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Now if somebody speaks in tongue, he speaks with God and he speaks mystery. How can he speak mystery if he doesn't understand the mystery? So when you are in the Spirit of God, you are one with God. Then you will know the mind of God. You will understand what God wants you to do and what God wants you to preach or talk to somebody or deal with the people. If some churches say, oh, we don't speaking in tongue, but we have the Holy Spirit. Then you tell them, sir, you don't have the third person of Trinity. What you have the Spirit of the Father and Spirit of Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, Father and Son will dwell with you. But the same chapter, he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. That's the third person of Trinity. He says, when the third person of Trinity, Holy Spirit you receive, you will be speaking in tongue, you will not speaking with man, you will be speaking with God, and you will speaking the mysteries and understand the mystery. Keep on reading. Read the verse 4.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Now, he says if you're speaking in tongue, you will be edified yourself. Now, somebody says, I don't want to speak in tongue. How can you edify yourself? Without edifying yourself, you cannot edify the church. So he said, first of all, you have to be edified. If you want to edify, you speak in tongue. If you start speaking in tongue, God will be start speaking to you. You will be speaking to God. God will reveal to mystery and you will understand the mystery. Then you will explain the mysteries to church. So that's why the connection between God and man is speaking in tongue. If you are a servant of God. And then he says, but if somebody prophesied, that person edified the church. Prophecy also called preaching. Preaching the word of God is called prophecy because it comes from the heart of God. So when somebody is prophesying, preaching, or telling what God wants you to hear, that's all called prophecy. That's the word of God. So now I'm prophesying, I'm teaching you, that is for the church. But if I start speaking in tongue right now, you will not understand. But God will understand. That's why I can speak in tongue when I want to edify myself. to edify the church, I don't have to speak in tongue. I have to speak the language of people. That's why St. Paul is saying, let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read one more time, verses 11 to 14.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
See, he says cunning craftiness, deceitful, and bringing the wrong doctrine. So he said, you should not be like a children tossed away to and fro. Now some people say, I go to that church, I go to this church, I go to that church, and I go to several churches. According to the word of God, if you start doing that, what will happen to you? You will be hearing different doctrine, you will be hearing different things, and you will be confused. Oh, that church says this, this church says this, this church says, who is right and who is wrong? The word of God is right. If somebody preaching from the word of God, I'm not preaching just to give the heading and go and say anything, says the Lord. I'm going words by words what the word of God is saying. So if you want to know the heart of God, then you should know the man of God who is dedicated to preach the gospel. And his mind is not after money. His mind is not after fame. His mind is not after some other gains. His mind is to edifying the body of Christ. Bring those people in maturity in the Christ. So the word of God is saying, we do according to the word of God. But other people will come, they bring their doctrine, cunning way, crafty way, lying way, and cheating you and destroy your faith. So that's why sound doctrine is very important. That's what the pastor job is all about. Okay, let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 15.
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Speaking the truth in love. Why are we saying this? We can allow anybody to go anywhere and do anything they want to do. But they will not know the truth. They will be going in the church, sitting in the church. Pastor doesn't know the truth. Pastor just his paid servant. He's just saying whatever he wants. Salary is reduced or salary doesn't come in time. He can get that church out of his mind and go and find somebody else and some other church. Why? Because they are hireling. They are hired by the money. And that's what happens. But here the word of God is saying, you speak the truth. And speak in love. If I don't love the members, I would not be telling the truth, right? If they can do anything, you just walk other way. One pastor told me, you know, in my church, they had some kind of a party. They invited me. I went to the basement and everybody was drinking and having the good time. So what did you do? I just walked away. That's the nicest thing to do. But if they are your church member, you just don't walk away. You just tell the truth. One person invited me to his house and for the birthday party. I went there. And these people not drinking, but the little boy was dancing and everybody clapping hands. Oh, future Michael Jackson. I went to the man and I said, sir, could you stop that dancing? Oh, I don't want to hurt their feeling. I said, sir, then, bye-bye. I left. And you allowing him to dance, but if something happened, he will not be ever doing this dancing. And I left. That boy was 4 years old. The boy became 7, got some meningitis or something, got paralyzed, went down. Now they don't know what to do. That boy cannot dance anymore. So they say, call Pastor Peter. They are calling with a third party. I said, ma'am, Are you the mother of that child? No, I'm a friend. Tell the lady to call me if she wants her son to be all right. She called, I went, and I gave 2 hours of teaching in the children's hospital. Laid hand for that boy and said, never again dance like Michael Jackson. You'll never get healed. And mother and father, I said, make a commitment that you never allow your son to dance like this. Then I'll pray. And I prayed today that boy might be 20 years old or maybe 21. Walking completely healthy, not a single deformity. And didn't happen today, happened the way I prayed for that boy. That needs courage to tell the truth. You don't go and mingle with people who are unsaved people. No, Jesus went. Jesus did not go to unsaved people to be unsaved. He went to get those people saved. He had the power of God. He was the holy man of God. And he was living according to the word of God. He did not go and start drinking with these people and start dancing. Somebody made the movie that Jesus was dancing in the Cana's wedding. Jesus will not do foolish things like this. But people can imagine and they start doing this. It's nothing wrong. The word of God says, if you know the truth, preach the truth, follow the truth. We want to grow like Christ. Not like say, Christ drank, so I'm going to drink. Christ danced, so I'm going to dance. Christ didn't do those things. People are making it up because they want to hide their sin. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 4, start from verse 16.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
So here is saying the body has to be fitly together. Now how is it going to fit together? Go to the St. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and start reading from verse 5. See how this body fits together.
He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
See, as a lively stone are built up spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Read the verse 6.
Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
So the Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We are the living stone. We have to fitly together for the habitation of God. You cannot take an unbeliever and believer and join together to make a church. Doesn't work that way. We have to have born again person having fellowship with the born again person to them. And so we are going to stop here and God willing, we'll continue next week. So what the word of God is telling today? He says, remember your calling. God has called us with a definite high calling. And when God has called us with a definite high calling, that's what he says, be worthy of your calling. And that's what this chapter is all about. That's why he said, I have given fivefold ministers to build the church, bring them to maturity, so the people will not go to the winds of doctrine and going astray. I want them to come to the unity and be habitation for God. One temple, one body for Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And we want to follow the steps of Christ. Give us grace to follow you. Give us grace to tell others to come to the unity of Christ. Lord Jesus, give us grace to and live a Christian life, pleasing in your sight. for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.